हरिः ॐ सहनौ भवतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्रीकृष्णचैतन्य प्रभुनित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैतगदाधर शिवसरिगौरभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम हरे राम 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 हरे हरे Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Anti Lila, Chapter 1, Srila Rupa Goswami's Second Meeting of the Lord. Page 10. Srila Prabhupada, one's bodily luster and beauty, one's constitution, one's activities, and one's qualities all depend on the law of cause and effect. There are three qualities in material nature, and as stated in Bhagavad Gita 13.22, Karanam Guna Sangosya Sadasad Yoni Janmashu. One takes birth in a good or bad family according to his previous association with the qualities of material nature. Therefore, one seriously eager to achieve transcendental perfection, Krishna consciousness, must eat Krishna prasadam. Such food is sattvika, or in the mode of, or in the material quality of goodness. But when offered to good Krishna, it becomes transcendental. A Krishna conscious movement ensues Krishna prasadam, and those who eat such transcendental food are sure to become devotees of the Lord. This is a very scientific method, as stated in the verse from Nala Naishada 3:17. Karyam Nidhanadhi Guna Adite. If in all his activities a person strictly adheres to the mode of goodness, he will certainly develop his dormant Krishna consciousness and ultimately become a pure devotee of Lord Krishna. Unfortunately, at the present moment, the bodily constitutions of the leaders of society, especially the government leaders, are polluted. As stated and described in Srimad Bhagavatam 10.1.40. Asamskrita kriyahina rajasa tamasa vita prajaste bhakshayishyanti mlecha rajan yarupinaha. Such leaders have no chance to purify their eating. Politicians mean together and exchange good wishes by drinking liquor, which is so polluted and sinful that naturally drunkards and meat eaters develop a degraded mentality in the mode of ignorance. The process of eating in different modes are explained in the Bhagavad Gita, whereas it is stated that those who eat rice, wheat, vegetables, milk products, fruit, and sugar are situated in the elevated quality of goodness. Rice, wheat means grains, vegetables, milk products, fruits, and sugar. These are the five human food, right? Grains, vegetables, milk products, fruit, sugar. Right? So nowadays, people are trying to get rid of milk products and sugar. And then some don't like rice, some don't like wheat. Generally, vegetables, they generally And fruits much of the time are okay. But, you're cutting down on actual human food. Therefore, if you want a happy and tranquil political situation, you must select leaders who eat Krishna prasadam. Otherwise, the leaders will eat meat and drink wine. And thus they will be a samskrita, unreformed, and kriyahina, devoid of spiritual behavior. In other words, they will be malechas and yavanas, or men who are unclean in their habits. Through taxation, such men exploit the citizens as much as possible. And in this way, they devour the citizens of the state instead of benefiting them. We therefore cannot expect the government to be efficient if it is headed by such unclean lectures and yavanas. So as the point was being made before is that depending on what you eat, that then establishes yourself in the position, or by seeing the result, right, the cause and effect. So you can see the results. So Sri Dhamma is making the point that he sees the effect in Rupa Goswami, and that this verse that, or this point, this, these verses and this moods and that Lord Chaitanya has been chanting during the Rath Yatra festival, that other than him, Sarupa Damodara, no one else understood. And now Rupa Goswami just comes there, and on the first day, then hearing this, he writes a shloka. And this verse, then, you know, he puts it on the roof. And then Lord Chaitanya comes and reads this, and then he's asking Sarupa Damodara, how does he know this? Because other than Sarupa Damodara, no one else knows this. So then Sarupa Damodara says, well, you can, by cause and effect, you can see if you have this effect that he is appreciating. That means there must be a cause. And so that, and to understand these subtle things of Krishna's moods and nature, that means that he must have gained Lord Chaitanya's mercy. So that's the point. So when you see that someone is able to do something very excellently in Krishna consciousness, then you know that Krishna has given his mercy. And in the same way is that by cause and effect, you can see is that, you know, the by what they've eaten and all that, then they these particular demigods become very beautiful. The swans, they eat the lotus stems, they become very beautiful. And so then, in the modern scenario, then what people eat, how they deal and all that, they are not becoming very beautiful, right? Because it's just, there's this sinful, so they just take on these sinful qualities. And temporarily, it might have a little show of piety, and it'll disappear. And so then the devotees were taking prasad, which is food already in goodness, and goodness will give you a better material situation. Then you've offered that to Krishna, so now you're getting the spiritual benefit. And so then that position, then we see is very strong. 3193-99. After the 4 months of Chaturmasya, Shravana Bhadra Ashwin Kartik, all the Vaishnavas of Bengal returned to their homes, right? So they came a little before Shravan, right? And they, how you say, returned to their homes after Kartik. But Srila Rupa Goswami remained in Jagannath Puri under the shelter of the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. One day, while Srila Rupa Goswami was writing his book, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu suddenly appeared. As soon as Haridas Thakur and Rupa Goswami saw the Lord coming, they both stood up and then fell down to offer him respectful obeisances. Right? So standard etiquette, you see someone respectful, you stand up, then you offer obeisances, not from where you're sitting. You just kind of roll forward and stay in your cross-legged position, touch your head to the ground, using one hand, and then roll back up. No, you stand up, offer obeisances, and then receive them, and then after they're seated, then you sit. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu embraced them both and then sat down. The Lord inquired, "What kind of book are you writing?" He held up a palm leaf that was a page of the manuscript. And when he saw the fine handwriting, his mind was very pleased. Thus being pleased, the Lord praised the writing by saying, "The handwriting of Rupa Goswami is just like rows of pearls." While reading the manuscript, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saw a verse on that page, and as soon as he read it, he was overwhelmed by ecstatic love. "I do not know how much nectar the two syllables Krishna have produced. When the holy name of Krishna is chanted, it appears to dance within the mouth. When we then desire many mouths. When the name enters the holes of the ears, we desire many millions of ears. And when the holy name dances in the courtyard of the heart, it conquers the activities of the mind, and therefore all the senses become inert." Srila Prabhupada. This verse is included in the Vidagdhamagata 115. A 7-act play written by Srila Rupa Goswami describing the pastimes of Sri Krishna and Vrindavan. Oh, Vidagdhamagata, okay. 3-1, 100-101. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu chanted this verse, Haridas Thakur, upon hearing the vibration, became jubilant and began to dance while praising its meaning. One has to learn about the beauty and transcendental position of the holy name Krishna by hearing the revealed scriptures from the mouths of the devotees. Nowhere else can we hear of the sweetness of the Lord's holy name. And so that's very important. We hear the scriptures and we hear the thing, but when we hear it from the devotees, that's when it becomes special. So the Shruti is there. Then when the devotees speak in Smriti, then it becomes so much nicer. And then when the acharyas then write commentaries on these things and various literatures in support of that Smriti, then it becomes even more and more sweet. So hearing from them, then only we can understand. And even that, then that's heard from a proper person. But you can't just go and study it on your own. You have to hear it from the acharyas. Srila Prabhupada. It is said in the Padma Purana, Atashri Krishna Namadi, Nabhavet Grahyam Indriyahi. Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhyalila 17:1-6. Chanting and hearing of the transcendental holy name of the Lord cannot be performed by the ordinary senses. The transcendental vibration of the Lord's holy name is completely spiritual. Thus, it must be received from spiritual sources. It must be chanted after having been heard from the spiritual master. One who hears the chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra must receive it from the spiritual master by oral reception. Srila Sanatana Goswami has forbidden us to hear the holy name of Krishna chanted by non-Vaishnavas, such as professional actors and singers, for it will have no effect. It is like the milk touched by the lips of a serpent, as stated in the Padma Purana. A Vaishnava mukod girnam putam hari katamritam shravanam naiva kartavyam sarpochishtam yata payaha. As far as possible, therefore, the devotees in the Krishna conscious movement gather to chant the holy name of Krishna in public so that both the chanters and the listeners may benefit. 3:1, 102, 105. And because then hearing from the devotees, then the public will get benefit. Because they have to hear from authorized source. So if they're reading Prabhupada's books, Prabhupada's mentioned it there. You know, then the devotees go out and they hear, because then only someone who had bought the book, and then only if they sit and read the book. Well, if the devotees go out and do kirtan, then, you know, in public, then everybody can hear. Then it becomes very nice. Yes.
So for the non-devotees, they don't have ratya. They have ratya vas, sattva vas, or then another one. So because of that, if we hear from them, then we cannot develop rati. And that is the reason then it is of no use for devotees. Instead of developing rati, we are like not developing a shadow, abhas, or something else which is detrimental for pure bhakti.
Yes. Means it'll be a pious activity for these non-devotees. But the problem is they want material benefit from it. You know, they're doing the kirtan so they get paid, or so people recognize them. And then when they get paid, they'll use that money for their own sense enjoyment. So for them, it's just another pious activity. You know, and it's easy, it's approachable, it's not like so expensive like these big yagyas. You don't have to be so intellectual, like you know, dealing with the scriptures and that. And you know, so you know, you have to know technical by all the rituals. So it is the process for the age, but you're still supposed to hear it from the parampara. Otherwise, then if they're showing all these wonderful symptoms, then it's like you said, it'll be shadows, reflections, and all these other aspects. So it won't be any benefit for spiritual development. Right? That they're chanting, yes, it's pious, but then, you know, so are so many things pious. And then piety, we know it's not going to get you anywhere. Like that. So the only benefit is if they're chanting, if they're willing to hear the holy name, therefore when it's heard from the pure Vaishnavas, then they'll start getting the proper benefit. Then they'll have heard it from the proper source. Right? Does that make sense? So, in other words, there is the standard, and then, you know, then you try to accommodate, but it doesn't mean the accommodation is the same. You know, you're trying to encourage them, you're trying to deal with all that, but the point is there's still a standard, and you have to see the principle on which they're chanting is based on that, that it has a value. But otherwise, they think they're being spiritual. They think they're very advanced. So then not only is it's not like, you know, they've just heard you're supposed to chant, and so they're chanting, and that they're trying to, you know, do the proper thing. But no, here's that they're using chanting as a method to gain their material benefits that they want. And at the same time, they're presenting themselves and claiming to be advanced. And so then this becomes a big problem, because if you hear from them, like it says, sarpochishta means the remnants from the snake, becomes poisonous. Because then for hearing, then you just take on those mundane qualities that they have. So that's why one wants to give that up. One is not interested in those mundane qualities. Is that all right?
Yes, yes.
Thus, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu embraced Haridas and Rupa Goswami and left for the seaside. Oh, it's both as a seaside. Oh, it's because of the she. She sells seashells. Okay, that's where we get down by the seaside. The seaside is both donkey. To perform his noontime duties. On the next day, after visiting the temple of Jagannath as usual, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu met Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, Ramananda Rai, and Sri Damodara. They all went together to Sri Rupa Goswami, and on the way, the Lord greatly praised his qualities. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu recited the two important verses, he felt great pleasure. Thus, as if he had five mouths, he began to praise his devotee. The two verses referred to are those beginning with Priyaso Soyam 79 and Trunde Tandalini 99. 99 was, I don't know how much nectar. And then what was the other one? 79. Oh,
that,
yeah.
That was the explanation verse.
The Rath Yatra one. Okay. 3.1.106.117. Just to examine Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya and Ramananda Rai, the Lord began to praise the transcendental qualities of Sri Rupa Goswami before them. Characteristically, the Supreme Personality of Godhead does not take seriously an offense committed by a pure devotee. The Lord accepts whatever small service a devotee renders as being such a great service that he is prepared to give even himself, what to speak of other benedictions. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is known as Purushottam, okay, this is the verse. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is known as Purushottam. The greatest of all persons has a pure mind. He is so gentle that even if his servant is implicated in the great offense, he does not take it very seriously. Indeed, if his service renders some small service, the Lord accepts it as being very great. Even if an envious person blasphemes the Lord, the Lord never manifests anger against him. Such are his great qualities. Footnote 3. This verse is from the Bhakti Rasamrita Siddha 2.1.138 by Sri Rupa Goswami. When Haridas Thakur and Rupa Goswami saw that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had come with his intimate devotees, they both immediately fell down like logs and offered prayers to the Lord Lotus feet. Thus, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his personal devotees met Rupa and Haridas Thakur. The Lord then sat down in an elevated place with his devotees. Rupa Goswami and Haridas Thakur sat at the foot of the elevated place where Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was sitting. Although everyone asked them to sit on the same level as the Lord and his associates, they did not do so. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ordered Rupa Goswami to read the verse they had previously heard, Rupa Goswami, because of great shyness, did not. And when all the did not read it, but instead remained silent. Then Sri Damodar Goswami recited the verse, and when all the devotees heard it, their minds were struck with wonder. My dear friend, now I have met my very old and dear friend Krishna on this field of Kurukshetra. I am the same Radharani, and now we are meeting together. It is very pleasant, but I would still like to go to the bank of the Jamuna, beneath the trees of the forest there. I wish to hear the vibration of the sweet flute playing the fifth note in the forest of Vrindavan. For, as mentioned before, this verse can be found in Sri Rupa Goswami's Padyavali 3:6. After hearing this verse, Ramananda Rai and Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya said to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, without your special mercy, how could this Rupa Goswami have understood your mind? Srila Ramananda Rai said that previously Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had empowered his heart so that he could express elevated and conclusive statements to which even Lord Brahma has no access. Had you not previously bestowed your mercy upon him, they said, it would not have been possible for him to express your eternal feelings. Srila Prabhupada. Devotees acknowledge Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's special mercy upon Srila Rupa Goswami in the following words. Sri Chaitanya Manobhisham Stapitam Yena Pujare Swayam Rupa Kadatmayam Vidati Swa Padantikam. When will Srila Rupa Goswami Prabhupada, who has established within this material world the mission to fulfill the desire of Lord Chaitanya, give me shelter under his lotus feet? Special function of Srila Rupa Goswami is to establish the feelings of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. These feelings are his desires that his special mercy be spread throughout the world in this Kali Yuga. Prithivite ache jato nagaladhidam sarvantara prachar hoibe imanam. The desire of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is that all over the world, everyone, in every village and every town, know of him and his Sankirtan movement. These are the inner feelings of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Sri Rupa Goswami committed to writing all these feelings of the Lord. Now again, by the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the same feelings are being spread all over the world by the servants of the Goswamis, and devotees who are pure and simple will appreciate this attempt. As concluded by Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, however, those who are on the levels of hogs and dogs will never appreciate such a great attempt. Yet this does not matter to the preachers of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's cult. For all over the world, they will continue to perform this responsible work, even though persons who are like cats and dogs do not appreciate them. Yeah, so in the modern society, it means before you would see cats and dogs, even outside, they were part of the scene in the house. But now it's very popular, you see all over the world, to keep cats and dogs. And that they're probably, you know, they're in the house and even considered part of the family. Sometimes you see individuals who, you know, have no one else in the family. When they leave, they, in their will, they give all everything they own to their cat, the dog. So that kind of a point. So as it's pointed out, is these feelings of Rupa Goswami and how they've been empowered and how they've been explained. Then, like Rupa Goswami, you can give further explanations so that they're understood. You know, what is the feeling? What's the mood? So Lord Chaitanya, when his original verses that he was saying, then all these things were quite hidden. You didn't know exactly what it meant. But Rupa Goswami, in writing his verse, it's like a purport that explains, you know, who is Radharani, who's Krishna. In this, you know, where are they going? That's the Vrindavan. Where are they under the trees, next to the Jamuna, playing the flute, the fifth note? All these different aspects are there. But in Lord Chaitanya, it's the way he's saying it, others weren't appreciating it. So then the idea that commentaries are written so that you fully understand and appreciate what's being said, then that's something very nice. Right? So that's what can be done. So if there are points the prophet makes in the purports that people don't understand or appreciate, then you can write commentaries on those to explain what they actually mean. not to give excuses and say, well, you know, times have changed, if you won't say that anymore. Not this kind of stuff where you're trying to make yourself look good and so you don't look bad and you're trying to save your own face. But you're trying to actually make what Prabhupada says accessible and what the acharyas say accessible so people can appreciate them and know what they're actually talking about. Because the thing is Prabhupada speaking on this spiritual platform and it's being spoken in the context that you can apply it into your life, into the particular situations we're in, because it's a science. While in the modern situation, you're not dealing with science, the political correctness, all these different kind of ideas that people have. There are different attachments, there are different social and political and economic systems. They're simply so that they can get their specific benefits that they want. They see that I will get benefit from that. And if I get benefit, the whole world will get benefit. And then if the whole world is following this, then I will get the benefit that I'm looking for. So they don't really care about anybody else. But in any case, these things being political, then they're under the modes of nature, and with time they change. So what yesterday was okay, today you'll say is nonsense. But give it more time. What today they say is okay, and before was nonsense, then it'll become that what you say today is nonsense, and what people said before may be okay, or there's a new nonsense. So this idea is that, oh, by the time, you know, by the situation now that the cats and dogs that don't appreciate, or before it was the hogs and pigs, you know, so therefore, you know, hogs and dogs, right? And so these that they won't understand. And so one would not change things for hogs and dogs, because even you change it, hogs and dogs won't appreciate because it's spiritual. Hogs and dogs only understand one day. So a sincere follower would never do that. You can say, oh, but we, you know, we want people to see Prabhupada nicely. But the hogs and dogs don't care. Then Prabhupada is just another nice guy like every other nice guy that's around. What's the speciality? What's the uniqueness? He can offer love of God. All these other hogs and dogs can only send you to hell. You know, so therefore, then one's going to be very, very careful in appreciating that. At Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami says, it doesn't matter. They can say all the negative things they get. We don't care. Because they'll never appreciate. It means, yes, if you can use a different word or this or that, we'll use, but we won't change what Prabhupada's giving. We can explain what Prabhupada's giving, but why would we change what he's giving? Because if in our small intelligence we think, oh, but this is against Krishna consciousness, then won't Prabhupada would ever say anything that's not Krishna conscious or not valued? Prabhupada doesn't know the age, and we're dealing as if, yes, we're from this Kali Yuga, we know what's going on. No, you don't. You're in the modes of nature. That's why you only notice that there's something beyond your modes of nature when Srila Prabhupada came. So Prabhupada sees beyond. This whole idea of deifying Prabhupada, yes, he spiritually doesn't understand, you know, the political scenes that are going on as if they're very complicated. Somebody wants control, so they use whatever political systems will get it. Somebody else wants money, they'll use whatever systems will get it. Somebody wants sense gratification, they'll use whatever means that will get it. That's so hard to understand. You know, but whatever it is, when it went out to understand, we're preaching for those who can appreciate. We're not preaching for the hogs and dogs. Because no matter how much you change, they still won't like it. Because otherwise, are these hogs and dogs, are they seriously religious? Seriously trying to find out about the absolute truth? No. They're generally skeptics, atheists, you know, and all these kind of things. You know, impersonalists, and so they don't care. You say all the things you want, they stay the same. Oh, I see. Here is the first on levels of hogs and dogs. Even though, yet this does not matter to the preachers of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's cult. For all over the world, they would continue to perform this responsible work, even though persons were like cats and dogs do not appreciate them. It doesn't mean that you're not intelligent and try to cleverly, you know, apply things in a nice way that they may appreciate. But you don't adjust anything because they don't appreciate, because they won't appreciate. They don't have the piety to appreciate. appreciate. It's thought that, no, no, they're nice people. That's why they'll get. Oh, no, they're so intelligent. That's why they'll get. Oh, you know, it was presented in such a simple way, or that devotee was not very cultured, and that's why it didn't have that, you know, it didn't have any spiritual effect. That's all nonsense. No, it's because the audience was not spiritual. Right? They, if they're making a sincere attempt, then those who are honest, they'll take it up. Like, it's a long time ago, some many years ago, one devotee came, was sitting in the class in the morning, and this and that. And while we were giving during the class, we gave the example of Srila Prabhupada. He was in Sweden. And in Sweden, he was at the main university there. And at that university there, they're famous for, you know, the element of equality and all this kind of stuff. And so then, you know, Prabhupada, you know, understood, he spoke about Varnashram. And on Varnashram, he spoke not only just normally you say Brahman, Kshatriya, Vaishya, the intellectuals, the administrator like this, and people can appreciate that. He said, first class man, second class man, third class man, fourth class man, the whole time. Right? And then at the end, then somebody raised their hand, you know, in that kind of challenging, you know, show the Swami wrong. So, and what class man are you, right? Because naturally they expect everyone's going to say, oh, I'm first class, you know, because I'm telling you how it is. Now you can come up to that. No, Prabhupada said, I'm fifth class, servant of all the other four classes. That was it. No one said anything. Everyone, you know, was fine with the class. Then it was over, they all left, and that. Out of that, it's a lecture hall, so there's 300 students. And after the lecture was over, one person took up Krishna consciousness, and that was the person in the audience. He came forward and says, I was in that class. I became a devotee. No one else did. So that's the point. Out of 300, one was actually looking. And the others continued in their hogs, dogs, camels, and asses. You know, pleasant, nice, you know, doing it in a nice way. But, you know, so one has to understand is, yes, you use your intelligence what to say there. But Prabhupada churned that one devotee out of that audience. Gave one lecture, you got one devotee. And that's not bad. Right? You know, this idea, oh, no, but what about bulk? But the point is the bulk is 2 billion, you know, of one religion, but how many actually follow anything, know anything? Have that dedication, have any idea of what they're doing. And, you know, at the end of life, surrender to God, go things like this. No, they remember the money, they remember their wife, kids, their dog, you know, like that. So that's not so important. But Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, my dear Rupa Goswami, my dear Rupa, please recite that verse from your Brahma, which upon being heard makes all people's unhappiness and lamentation go away. When the Lord persisted in asking this again and again, Rupa Goswami recited that verse as follows. I do not know how much nectar the two syllables Krishna have produced. When the holy name of Krishna is chanted, it appears to dance within the mouth. We then desire many, many mouths. When that name enters the holes of the ears, we desire many millions of ears. When the holy name dances in the courtyard of the heart, it conquers the activities of the mind, and therefore all the senses become inert. Footnote 5. As mentioned before, this verse can be found in Srila Rupa Goswami's Vidagdha Madhava 115. So inert means they just don't function, they're just focused on Krishna. They're not looking for sense objects in them. They're just focused on Krishna. When all the devotees of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, especially Sri Ramananda Rai, heard this verse, they were all filled with transcendental bliss and were struck with wonder. Right, from so many aspects is there, just wonderful, it's wonderful poetry. You know, we hear it, we find it, you know, it's very nice. But you can see, especially Ramananda Rai, because he knows rasa tattva. And so then here is something very, you know, very special. Everyone admitted that although they had heard many statements glorifying the holy name of the Lord, they had never heard such sweet descriptions as those of Rupa Goswami. Because generally we hear these technical points and things like that. But here, the sweetness in which it's being said is so wonderful. You know, so the sweetness is actually the thing that is what makes one attractive. You know, as we see is that it's mentioned that Prabhupada's mentioning that in the Kali Yuga, everybody is just engaged in sense gratification. So therefore, then that the Lord coming, that he is able to expose people to the sweetness of his name, form, qualities, and pastimes. And then they'll be attracted by that sweetness and give up the sense gratification. So that kind of approach, that kind of presentation becomes very, very wonderful. You know, so then you can say things in a very sweet way, a nice way, but it's not coming from the politically correct platform. It's not coming from some other mundane platitude, but it's actually coming from that the heart has that purity and you can speak like that and it will have an effect and it's useful. But otherwise, like we say, you could have spoken in that kind of sweet way before. And then out of that audience, then they would have thought, okay, this is very nice. Nice Swami in that. Nobody would have become a devotee. But he spoke strongly, and then out of that he got that one devotee. And as we say, that devotee was still here. Right? You know, so then that impression has been made. So that's more important. This idea is that we have to present ourselves as wonderful guys, and because of that, then everybody will come rushing to join what? You know, because we say, oh, the temples you shouldn't do, oh, and leadership isn't this. And management is, you know, this and that and so many things and stuff. But what are they going to join? They're going to join the association of devotees. So therefore, we have to give that association. Like that. You can't associate with political correctness. Ramananda Rai inquired, what kind of drama are you writing? We can understand that it is a mind of conclusive statements, right? Because here, what he's saying, that's conclusion, right? It's not just it's some poetics that it's saying some nice things, like some intellectuals like to say. There's all these things, oh, they're just allegories, they're just, you know, metaphors, they're just this and that, and that's what they are, and then leave it at that. Maybe they may be using those techniques. That's called alankara. That's called ornamentation. That's kavya, that's poetry. But it doesn't mean it's only poetry. You know, it's not like, okay, Rupa Goswami, Edgar Allan Poe. You know, so no, it's not like that. It means that they're using that medium, but they're giving conclusions. And it's the conclusion that you should go for. And if you just look at that, oh, it's just, you know, it's just some, you know, nicely presented things like that, but, you know, it's not actually what we should be doing. These kind of statements are useless for a sincere devotee. They will not give any benefit. Footnote 6. Srila Rupa Goswami describes the symptoms of a nataka in his book Nataka Chandrika, verse 6 as follows. Based on the nature and position of the hero, the script of nataka should contain Prakriti and Sanskrit languages, as well as the best quality of poetry. It should be prepared without any faults and joyful for everyone. This is the symptom of nataka. Right, so without any faults, then that means that you're going to write it and then go back and check it and see that everything is perfect, how it flows and that. There won't be any grammatical faults, there won't be any technical faults, no dramatic faults, faults in rasa and the shastra. So all these things, so it means that you can't just whip something out quickly because, you know, unless you know, come out with your script quickly, then, you know, your project's not going to get out of development hell, you know, or, you know, you want to finish up this project because, you know, I have a bigger project coming up, and so then you do that. No, this is that you write and like that because these things last. Rupa Goswami and his drama still appreciated today. How many people, other things than that, after a few years, anybody cares. Much of the time, something's there, and what last year everybody's talking about, this year no one wants to even hear about it. So that's with faults and joyful for everyone. So whoever's there, then everybody appreciates it. So that's the whole point, is that you put in all the different elements that everybody's happy with. But if you only make it, you know, for one particular group, unless it's so perfect and it's been produced only for that group, and then amongst that group they may talk. But the Nataka is meant for a public account, so therefore then the general public will appreciate this aspect, the scholars will appreciate that aspect, those with more finer sentiments will appreciate another aspect. And so like that, then everything becomes appreciated. That's a Nataka. It's a complete, it's a big production. You have smaller productions that may be more geared to a particular group and all that, you know, or a particular theme. It has less development within it. But, you know, detail is there. It gets quite big, but it doesn't have all the fine connections that the Nataka. Sri Damodar replied for Srila Rupa Goswami. He wanted to compose a drama about the pastimes of Lord Krishna. He planned to describe in one book both the pastimes of Vrindavan and those of Dwarka and Mathura. He began in that way, but now, following the order of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he's divided it in two and is writing two plays, one concerning the pastimes of Mathura and Dwarka, and the other concerning the pastimes of Vrindavan. The two plays are called Vidagna Madhava and Lalita Madhava. Both of them wonderfully describe ecstatic emotional love of God. Srila Prabhupada. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur informs us in this connection that Srila Rupa Goswami finished the drama known as Vidagna Madhava in the year Shakabda 1454, AD 1532. And the Lalita Madhava in Shikabda 1459, AD 1537. Right, so then, 5 years later. The discussion between Ramananda Rai and Srila Rupa Goswami at Jagannath Puri took place in Shikabda 1437, AD 1515. So one was 17 years later, and the other one was 22 years later. So that's why it says it's without faults and everything. So it's perfect. He spent that time. And because of that, they still have their effect today. Briti. In the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, Srila Prabhupada explains the role of drama in enlightening the common man. Even 100 years ago in India, all dramatic performances were centered around the superhuman activities of the Supreme Lord. The common people would be verily entertained by the performances of dramas, and yatra parties played wonderfully on the superhuman activities of the Lord. And thus, even the illiterate agriculturist would be a participant in the knowledge of Vedic literature, despite a considerable lack of academic qualifications. Therefore, expert players in drama, dancers, singers, speakers, etc., are all required for the spiritual enlightenment of the common man. Srimad Bhagavatam 1.11.20 purport. So all these things are very nice because in it, what's happening, the players and drama, then dancers, the singers, speakers, all those, whatever it is, that whole cultural approach, that will all naturally attract the minds of the common person. And so, and one can say, but that's, you know, you're calling it common, this and that, you know, everyone's so intelligent and that says, but look at what they're doing. You know, they're going on through the modern media and all that, then they're watching all kinds of things in which brings about some kind of experience for them that they appreciate. You know, either the chivalry, the romantic aspect, or you know, some of the joking aspect. You know, the person that the you know, like your comedians who you know just the sarcasm and all that kind of thing. So all these things, they go and they absorb themselves in these things. And so then the idea is Prabhupada saying previously, all those things that were happening were all centered around Krishna. So those who appreciate this and can take this up, then they can work in these areas. But you have to remember, it's all about presenting Krishna, not about who gets the main role and you know who's expressing themselves and who directs. And, you know, I think it should be like this. I think I should be looking like that. And, you know, all that kind of thing. Of course, you try to work together, but you have to try to move from the position that it's about yourself as an actor, as a dancer, a singer, a speaker, and it's about Krishna. And so then that performance that production will be about Krishna. It is for this reason many Vaishnava acharyas compose plays describing the wonderful activities of the Supreme Lord, so that devotees can absorb themselves in the transcendental pastimes of the Lord by hearing and enacting them. The following quotations from different acharyas confirm this. Whenever there is a recitation of poetry or dramatic play on the different pastimes of Krishna, the audience develops different kinds of transcendental love and service for the Lord. They enjoy different types of ecstatic love and sentiments. Srila Prabhupada in their devotion. Indeed, owing to the predominance of word, the Veda is similar to a master. And owing to the predominance of meaning, the canon of Puranic literature instructs like a well-wisher. Right? So the word of the Veda, you know, is taken as that it's the Lord. The master says, the word is there. The meaning, then like a will-wisher. So it's like how you can understand it. You know, you're trying to help the person understand it. Poetry, however, is distinct from them on account of an inclination towards the usage of rasa, which is beyond the primary meaning of the words. Consequently, poetry is similar to a beloved wife. Sahitya Kaumudi 1.4 by quality of devotion. Poetry is excellent, so that means the Natakas will have the poetry. There'll be also prose parts, but poetry is your prominent aspect. Poetry is excellent when the implied sense generates more astonishment than the literal meaning of the text. This is first-rate poetry, termed Dvani Kavya by scholars. Sahitya Kaumudi 1.8. Yeah, so that's why you see his Rupa Goswami's, what he's written is getting more effect. Because Lord Chaitanya said it, but you take the direct meaning, but then when you take the implied meaning, then you bring that out, then you see, then it becomes has a greater effect. The highest gain for a poet and the relishers of poetry is the absorption in deep spiritual bliss that comes from fixing the mind on Krishna's qualities, beauty, and pastimes. Alankara Kastuba 1.23 by Srila Kavikarnapur. Right, so that's the idea. You're trying to bring about that absorption in the name, form, qualities, and pastimes. Not just quite, oh, you know, everything is so fabulous with this and the drama. You know, means you're getting something for, you know, somebody's acting, the makeup was great, the editing, all these different things are great. But then the point is that it actually has substance and changes the moods of those who are appreciating it. And actually their life becomes, you know, directed in a certain direction because of that. That's not discussed. That's not discussed. So just the external form is dealt with. And so then because of that, then you don't see the people necessarily go for something higher. 3.1.127-32. Ramananda Rai said, please recite the introductory verse of the Vidarbha Madhava so that I can hear and examine this. Footnote 7. Bharat Muni describes that the drama should begin with invocation prayers followed by introduction to the theme of the play. Srila Rupa Goswami details this in his Nataka Chandrika. Dramatic prologues by which the audience can understand the forthcoming event is called prastavana or introduction, right? So by what's being there, you know what's coming up, right? This idea no one should know, and then you go through that and you can never figure out what's happening on, and finally you think you know, and then there's a switch and it's like this, and finally at the end and it comes out and it's completely different from what you want, and you spent the whole time just trying to figure out what it was, but it didn't work out, and then I know. Like this, introduction means you know what's happening, because it's not about the intellectual or these other things. It's about your being absorbed in the emotion. So you know it's there. It's not a problem, because how it's presented. It's just like if I say, yes, you know, at 1 o'clock we're having lunch. Does that spoil that how wonderfully it's been prepared or presented and served in the atmosphere, and then the taste that you get and the other things and the association that's there? It doesn't matter that I say there's going to be lunch, or I even say what preparations are going to be there. You know, when you actually get there, the experience of it, as was mentioned before, is beyond. It's beyond the words. But poetry is excellent when the implied sense generates more astonishment than the literal meaning. So one has to appreciate that there's the point of newness and excitement like this and that aspect. And yes, that can be there. And if that's what's there, then okay, then that will be the thing. It'll be about the surprise and things like that. So, but it's going to be that experience about the surprise. The point is it's the experience that's important. Okay. It is recommended that one must, in the opening of this act, invoke the auspiciousness by performance of Nandi. Nandi consists of elements such as blessings, offering of reverences, and the table of contents, right? So the whole idea, the whole, what will be there in the whole drama will be there. Or, you know, in any other work. You know, there's going to be blessings, there's going to be reverences and that. So any kind of poetic kind of thing, but especially the drama, you should know what's going to unfold. You know, details of it, you don't have to give. That they'll see when it goes. But the principle, you know what direction it's going. There should be either 8, 10, or 12 stanzas. The word chandra is often added in Nandi in order to make the event more auspicious and yield proper results. Auspicious are the moon, lotus, the chakora bird, and water lily. Nothing a chandrika, 14, 16. So then you can use those things like the moon that, you know, has risen and things like that. You know, Nityananda Sahodito, that one about the on the horizon of Goda have risen the sun and moon simultaneously. Thus, Srila Rupa Goswami, being ordered by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, recited the verse 1-1. May the pastimes of Sri Krishna reduce the miseries existing in the material world and nullify all unwanted desires. Right? Because the miseries are there. Why are they there? Just because you're in the material world. And then what's the cause of them is the material desire. So if you nullify all unwanted desires other than serving Krishna and the Vaishnavas, then all the miseries existing in the material world means all. Reduce the misery existing in the material world. It's just, you know, yeah. Pastimes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead are like shikardini, a blend of yogurt and sugar candy. They overpower the pride of even the nectar produced on the moon, where they distribute this sweet fragrance of the concentrated loving affairs of Srimati Radharani and the gopis. Right, so he's there. He's mentioned the moon. He's mentioned that, you know, the benefits that will be there, the glories, like that. So you see just how nicely it's done. It's not formal. It's that, that's why it takes so much thinking, is how to present those things in such a way that it comes out so sweet. And then you're going to see is that our acharyas, and especially Srila Rupa Goswami, they're able to, their writings can be so sweet like that. Ramananda writes that. So we see is that it reduces, by may the pastime reduce the miseries of the material world, nullify all unwanted desires, then they can distribute the sweet fragrance of the concentrated loving repairs of Srimati Radharani. But Ramananda Rai said, now please recite the description of the glories of your worshipable deity. Right? Because then in the invocation, you're going to, you know, these are some blessings and some other aspects. But there's worship of the deity, like that, you know, who the deity is. Rupa Goswami, however, hesitated due to embarrassment because Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was present. The Lord, however, encouraged Rupa Goswami, saying, why are you embarrassed? You should recite it so the devotees can hear the good fruit of your writing. When Srila Rupa Goswami thus recited his verse, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu disapproved of it because it described his personal glories. He expressed the opinion that it was an exaggerated explanation. May the Supreme Lord, who is known as the son of Srimati Sati Devi, be transcendentally situated in the innermost core of your heart, resplendent with the radiance of molten gold, He has descended in the age of Kali by his causeless mercy to bestow what no incarnation has ever offered before, the most elevated mellow of devotional service, the mellow of conjugal love. Srila Prabhupada, this verse, Vidagdha Madhava 1.2, also appears in the Adilita 1.4 and 3.4. In his commentary on the Vidagdha Madhava, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur remarks, Maha Prabhu Spurtim Vinahari Lila Rasa Svadananu Papater Iti Bhavaha. Without the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, one cannot describe the pastimes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, Srila Rupa Goswami said, Yo yushmakam hridaya rupa guhayam sachi nandaro hari pakshe simha spurato. May Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is exactly like a lion that kills all the elephants of desire, be awakened within everyone's heart. For by his personal blessings, one can understand the transcendental pastimes of Krishna. All the devotees present so greatly appreciated this verse that they expressed their gratitude to Sri Rupa Goswami for his transcendental recitation. Ramananda Rai inquired, How have you introduced the assembly of the players? Rupa Goswami replied, The players assemble at a suitable time under the heading of Pravartaka, right? Because there's different ways. It means you have your systems on how it's going to be presented. And so you have various options. It means there's a principle you're trying to obtain. And in this principle, there's various ways you can go about it. And so then, depending upon how you're unfolding, how you want to present, then you may choose different parts that are there that will best bring it out in the way that you want. And that way it gives the playwrights, some options on how to perform these things. But in doing this, they're all according to the correct ways of doing. You know, just like you want to explain something, there's so many ways you can explain it. Like Lord Chaitanya explained the Atmarama verse in so many different 61 different ways. And so, depending on which angle you're taking, you can get different effects. And so, like that, then they're there. So then he said he's used this. In a drama, all the actors are called patra, or players. So patra is also means the it's like when you use it in another context, like in puja or things. It's your ingredients. And so the players there, they're like the, by them being together, then they'll bring out, they will be, by their acting, by their qualification, they will bring out from that time, place, and circumstance, then the particular rasa that's being expressed by the playwright. And it will be tasted by the audience. Right? So that's the whole thing that must be brought out. So the producers of the play, understanding this, then they see is that the correct actor is doing the correct part in the correct way, that it produces a change in the heart of those who are witnessing the production. Right? If that's done, then it's correct. Otherwise, if it's just technical, or I feel like it should be this, I want to bring it out this way. Okay, we can do like that. Why not make it look like this? You know, like that. But that's not what it's for. It's for that. So therefore, the actors or the players are elements of the play, just like means the actors are there, just like you have the set, you have the words of the script, you have the different techniques that are used, the dancing, the music, the makeup. All these things are all elements. Now that will all be put onto the actor, and the actor will then deliver all that. So they have to be able to do that. Therefore, then they have to be the right player. This is stated by Vishwanath Kaviraj in the Sahitya Garbha 6.283. Divya Martye Satat Rupo Misram Anantarastayo Suchayet Vastu Bijam Vamukam Patram Atapiva. The meaning of Amukha is stated by Srila Rupa Goswami in the Nataka Chandrika. Sutra Dharo Nati Brute Sva Paryam Pratiyupita Prastu Takshepi Chirotya Yattad Amukam Iritam. When Srila Ramananda Rai inquired about the arrangement for introducing the assembly of players in the drama, Rupa Goswami replied that when the players first enter the stage in response to the time, the introduction is technically called Pravartaka. For example, see verse 136 below. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur says that the introduction, which is technically called Amukha, may be of five different kinds, according to the Sahityadarpa, 6288. Udgatyaka kato gata payo gati shayas tata pravarta ka valagite pancha prastavana vita. The introductions may be classified as follows. 1. Udgatyaka, 2. Katogata, 3. Prayogatish Shaya, 4. Pravartaka, and 5. Avalagita. These five kinds of introduction are called Amukha. Thus, Srila Ramananda Rai asked which of the five introductions had been employed, and Srila Rupa Goswami replied that he had used the introduction called the Pravartaka. Right, so you have five different options, so then how you would present. And it all, as you go through, there's always these options. And that way, even if someone writes a similar kind of drama on a similar thing, it's in Krishna's pastime, then how you put it together, which options you use throughout the play is going to make a completely different play. So it's not that, oh, it'll be exactly the same. No, it'll never be the same. That's why it's so sophisticated and so developed. That they'll never be the same. 3.1, 135, 137. Srila Rupa Goswami continued. When the entrance of the actors is set in motion by the arrival of a suitable time, the entrance is called Pravartaka, footnote 8. This verse is from the Nataka Chandrika 12 by Srila Rupa Goswami. Springtime had arrived, and the full moon of that season inspired the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is complete in everything, with new attraction to meet the beautiful Srimati Radharani, at night to increase the beauty of the pastimes. Footnote 9. This verse is from Srila Rupa Goswami's Vidyakamadava 110. Ramananda Rai said, please recite the Prarochana portion so that I might hear and examine it. Srila Rupa replied, I think that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's desire is to hear prarochana. Srila Prabhupada. The method of inducing the audience to become more and more eager to hear by praising the time and place, the hero and the audience is called pravarochana. This is the statement regarding prarochana in the Nataka Chandrika. Desha kala katarvastu shabyadinim shabyadinam prasamshaya Shrotrinam Unmukhi Kara Katiteyam Parochana. The method of inducing the audience to become more and more eager to hear by praising the time, place, hero, and audience is called Parochana. Similarly, in the Sahityadarpana 6.286, it says, Tasya Parochana Viti Tata Prahasana Uke Angan Yatron Mukhi Kara Kara Pra Samsata Pradochana. Any literature presented in Sanskrit must follow the rules and regulations mentioned in the authoritative reference books. The technical inquiry is by Srila Ramananda Rai. And The replies of Srila Rupa Goswami indicate that both of them were expert and fully conversant with the techniques of writing drama. And so we see here is that you're trying to make the audience more and more eager to hear the praise, you know, hear what's going on. So you're talking about the pastimes of the Lord, and to get them to be more and more eager toward that. Then you have that you're praising the time, the place of the hero and the audience. So the time, the place, and Patra, as I mentioned before, that's the hero. Then all the other actors are going to be connected there. So they're also Patra, as mentioned before. So the actors are Patra. And the audience is also Patra because you're trying to get them involved like that. And so then you see it's time, place, and circumstance. So when you're using that and by praising time, place, and circumstance, and the circumstance means the hero and the audience, then that way they become more inspired. You know, then you see, like, just like you'll say, oh, you know, I say, you know, intelligent, you know, swan-like devotees, you know, who always are, you know, appreciate the nectar of the Lord's name, form, and pastime. Like this, he's praising the audience, and they become inspired. And you're praising the hero and how, like Krishna, and how he, that wonderfulness of the springtime, and how his youthfulness becomes, you know, becomes even more, you know, greater, and his desire to meet with Radha. So you just glorify him or the time. You know, now it's like you see Sukadeva Goswami. So it's. Or Krishna is saying about the, you know, it's Kartik month, the best of all months, you know, and it's in Vrindavan, the best of all places, and it's the full moon, the best of all days, and then, you know, here, you know, like that, and so therefore, then, you know, then the gopis are the best of the girls, so it's a perfect time for a rasa dance. So you're talking about the time, the place, you're glorifying all these things, you become more and more inspired to hear. So that's the whole point, is that you're describing these things to become more inspired. You know, that's where you're trying to get. So sometimes this, you use it and things aren't quite seen, and then you want to know what it is. But then it has to be very done nicely. But nowadays, it's been, much of the time, it's so hidden that you never figure it out. You know? And so you don't catch it, or you figure it out later, but at the time you didn't get it. So now it doesn't mean so much to you now. So you're going, oh, that's what he meant there. And then things moving on. And so they're not so expert. You know, they're good, but they're not so expert. Not like this, where they can inspire so much. You know, some may say, oh, but this is so sentimental and it's so obvious and that, you know, what about, you know, the being real and, you know, the intellect and whatever, what's like that and that. But these are, you know, as mentioned before, they're not interested in the Lord's pastimes because that's ever fresh. It doesn't get old. It doesn't get stale. Modern things get stale. That's why they have to change the technique constantly. Otherwise, then it becomes really stale, especially the amount of volume of, you know, stuff that gets produced. And so by the volume, it just, something that's good becomes ruined so easily. Srila Rupa Goswami continues. The devotees now present are constantly thinking of the Supreme Lord and are therefore highly advanced. See, here, like that. I kind of think of the Lord as highly advanced. So he's praising the audience. This work named Vidagdhamadava depicts the characteristic pastimes of Lord Krishna with decorations of poetic ornaments. And the inner grounds of the forest of Vrindavan provide a suitable platform for the dancing of Krishna and gopis. Therefore, I think that the pious activities of persons like us who try to advance in devotional service have now attained maturity. Note 10. There's a verse 8 of the first act of the Vidagdhamadava. So you see how he nicely then glorifies the audience themselves and inspires them like that. So that praising, that actually inspires people. They're more inclined. You know, the just finding fault in that isn't necessarily, it may bring about thoughtfulness if they have the character or if that's your intent. You're just saying, pointing out the fault, just point out the fault. It won't inspire anything other than as you're trying to bother them, they will be bothered. And then they'll reciprocate. But if you're pointing out so that they may progress and then go to a higher level because you see potential there, that's the whole point, is that you must see the potential. You must see what's there. that can inspire more. That's much more dynamic, as you can see with their using. Oh, learned devotees, I am by nature ignorant and low. Yet even though it is from me that the Vidagdha Madhava has come, it is filled with descriptions of the transcendental attributes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, will not such a literature bring about the attainment of the highest goal of life? Although its wood may be ignited by a low-class man, fire can nevertheless purify coal. Similarly, although I am very low by nature, this book may help cleanse the dirt from within the hearts of the golden devotees. Figure 11. This verse is Vidagdha Madhava 1:6. Right, so he's not necessarily saying in order, but you know, because he's asking, oh, how did you bring up this, that, and so then he's bringing them out of that particular position. Then Ramananda Rai inquired from Rupa Goswami about the causes of the loving affairs between Krishna and the gopis, such as previous attachment, purva rag, transformations of love, vikara, endeavors for love, chishta, and exchanges of letters disclosing the gopis' awakening. Love for Krishna, kama and vikana. Srila Prabhupada. Srila Rupa Goswami has explained kama vikana in his book Ujjvala Nilamani, Vipalamba Prakarana 26. Sa leka kama leka sya ya yasva prema prakashakaha. Yuvat Ya yuni yunach cha. No. Yuvat ya yuni yunacha. Yuvat yam sampra hiyate. Exchanges of letters between a young boy and girl concerning their awakening of attachment for each other are called kama leka. 3.1.141.144. Srila Rupa Goswami gradually informed Ramananda Rai about everything he asked. Hearing his explanations, all the devotees of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu were struck with wonder. Experiencing previous attachment to Krishna, Purva Rag, Srimati Radharani thought, since I have heard the name of, so notice here he says, so therefore they asked, he told them everything. That answered all the questions. Then he starts to say what happened. He sees it's a very unique system. Here is that someone asks a question. Yes, I'll answer all these questions. I'll go through one by one, you know, one after another like that. And then you start doing. Since I have heard the name of a person called Krishna, I have practically lost my good sense. Then there is another person who plays his flute in such a way that after I hear the vibration, intense madness arises in my heart. And again, there is still another person to whom my mind becomes attached when I see his beautiful lightning-like effulgence in his picture. Therefore, I think I am greatly condemned, for I have become simultaneously attached to three persons. It would be better for me to die because of this. Footnote 12. This is verse of Vidagdha Madhava 2:9. Because in the beginning, you're introducing the whole basics of, you know, what's going to be in the drama, and then it starts to unfold. You know, so then that unfolding is showing that there's that attachment between, which then, you know, there'll be some difficulty, some path or some journey to take, and some obstacles to overcome, and the you know, being inspired to attain and getting closer until finally it all comes together. So then that's what will be going on. So then here, then they're, you know, showing that intense attraction that Radharani has. Right? Yeah, so therefore then, you know, just the hearing his qualities, hearing his name, then, you know, hearing the flute, and then hearing, you know, his form, or seeing about his form in a picture. Then, like that, she's becoming so overwhelmed. But she thinks it's three different people. She doesn't know it's one person. My dear friend, these palpitations of Srimati Radharani's heart are extremely difficult to cure, even if one applies some medical treatment. it would only end in defamation. Footnote 13. This verse, Vidagdhamadava 2.8, is spoken by Srimati Radhananda herself. Right? So she was saying is that it's only going to end in defamation because why? Because then I become attached to, you know, I'm having these palpitations of the heart because they must have been asking about something, saying, yes, can we help? And these palpitations, and trying to fix that, it'll only end in defamation because why? She is attached to three different boys. Then the next. Oh, the dearly beautiful one, the artistic loveliness of your picture is now impressed within my mind. Since you are now living within my mind, whenever I wish to run because I am agitated by impressions of you, I find that you, oh my friend, are blocking my way. Srila Prabhupada. This verse, Vidagdhamadava 2.33, is written in the Prakrit language, not in Sanskrit. The meaning is the same, but the native language is different. It was spoken to Krishna by Madhu Mangal as he read him a letter from Srimati Radharani. But, you know, so the Sanskrit things are going to go, but then you're also going to have the Prakrit, because that would be the language, you know, that will be known by those individuals that are there. And so, and in that... It will have its own particular form and sweetness and wonderfulness and way that it expresses things. And so then, as we said, the Natakal have both languages together. So I'm not sure if that means the Bollywood, when they're trying to perform their things and they use this Hindi, this half English, if that is meaning that they're using both the technical language and the Prakrit language, and you know, it's like that may not work out. 3.1.145 to 1.48. Srila Rupa Goswami continued quoting. Mukura, a friend of Lord Krishna's grandmother, said to Purnamasi, the grandmother of Madhu Mangal, upon seeing peacock feathers in front of her, this girl suddenly begins trembling. When she sometimes sees a necklace of gunja, small conch shells, she sheds tears and cries loudly. I do not know what kind of new ecstatic influence has entered the heart of this poor girl. It has imbued her with the dancing attitude of a player, creating wonderful, unprecedented dances on a stage. Footnote 14, this verse is Vidagdhamadava 2.15. Srimati Radharani said to her constant companion, Vishakha, my dear friend, if Krishna is unkind to me, there will be no need for you to cry, for it will not be due to any fault of yours. I shall then have to die, but afterwards, please do one thing for me. To observe my funeral ceremony, place my body with its arms embracing a tamal tree, like creepers, so that I may remain forever in Vrindavan undisturbed. That is my last request, footnote 15. This is verses Vidagdhamadava 2.47. Right, so you can see already they're introducing the elements of obstacles and different things like that. So one, you see that attraction, the natural, how they have that affection for each other, how they wish to be together. And then the obstacles come up, brought about by various persons, various situations. And then these paths are the main thing, and these other themes that come in and either create an obstacle or help overcome it or take it to the next level, all start happening. Ramananda Rai inquired, what are the characteristics of emotional love? Rupa Goswami replied, this is the nature of emotional love for Krishna. Purnamasi said, my dear beautiful friend, one develops love of Godhead, love of Krishna, the son of Nanda Maharaj, all the bitter and sweet influences of this love will manifest in one's heart. Such love of God acts in two ways. The poisonous effects of love of Godhead defeat this severe and fresh poison of the serpent. Yet there is simultaneously transcendental bliss, which pours down and defeats the poisonous effects of a snake, as well as the happiness derived from pouring nectar on one's head. It is perceived as doubly effective, simultaneously poisonous and nectarine. Yeah, so its intensity is there, but it generates this intense bliss. So that's why all these contradictions are so perfectly reconciled in the spiritual world by Krishna's internal potency, especially we see the intensity that's there in the Vraja pastimes. So that's why it's so wonderful, is because the intensity is there, and the depth that it goes to is so nice and so special. And so that then is something unique. And other realms you see is they don't get into so much these aspects. And so they need things very, very, you know, clean, very, very stable. And they're always absorbed in love for the Lord in that way. And so it becomes very nice. But the problem comes up is that the depth that it goes to, they won't taste. Like you see is Lakshmiji being in these Vaikuntha pastimes, seeing the sweetness that's there in the pastimes of Braj, then she wants to take part in those pastimes. But the problem is that she won't give up the idea that Krishna is her husband, she can't enter those pastimes. But the desire is there. Srila Prabhupada. This verse is from the Vidagdhamadava 2:18. It also appears in the Madhya Lila, chapter 2, verse 52. 3:1, 149, 150. Ramananda Rai further inquired, what are the natural characteristics of awakening love of Godhead? Rupa Goswami replied, these are the natural characteristics of love of God. When one hears praise from his beloved, he outwardly remains neutral but feels pain within his heart. When he hears his beloved making accusations about him, he takes them to be jokes and enjoys pleasure. When he finds faults in his beloved, they do not diminish his love, nor do the beloved's good qualities increase his spontaneous affection. Thus, spontaneous love continues under all circumstances. This is how spontaneous love of Godhead acts within the hearts. Right? Because, in other words, that affection is there, so good qualities are there. It doesn't increase, it doesn't increase the natural affection you have. You know, it may create all kinds of emotions and all that, but it doesn't change. It's not like, you know, you come to some place, you see some guy over there, and you turn to your friend, who's that guy? Like that, you know, you're thinking, yeah, I'm not, you know, this, and you say, oh, that's this guy, this, and you're like, oh, wow, okay, yeah, okay, then now you want a relationship. It doesn't do that. You already have a relationship. It just creates a variety of tastes of emotions and all that there. Same time as if there's any faults, it doesn't change your affection. It just creates other emotions and everything. So that's on the spiritual platform. Then this is how everything works there. On the material platform, these can make the relationship go up and down and all that. So that's the point. The spontaneous love for Krishna then acts in this way. This verse from the Vidagdhamadava 5:4 is spoken by Purnamasi, the grandmother of Madhu Mangal and mother of Sandhu Mangal. 3:1, 151. Srila Rupa Goswami continued quoting, upon hearing of my cruelty, moon-faced Radharani may establish some kind of tolerance in her aggrieved heart, but then she might turn against me. Or, indeed, being fearful of the lusty desires invoked by the bow of formidable Cupid, she might even give up her life. Alas, I have foolishly uprooted the soft creeper of desire just when it was ready to bear fruit. Srila Prabhupada, having been very cruel to Srimati Radharani, Krishna has repented of his way. Vidagdhamadava 2:40. 3:1, 152, 171. You know, and cruel here means that a particular emotion or desire is coming and you take it in a different direction or don't deal with it there, or take it into something else, like that. Srimati Radharani said to Vishakati, desiring the happiness of his association embraces, my dear friend, I disregarded even my superiors and relaxed my shyness and gravity before them. Furthermore, although you are my best friend, more dear to me than my own life, I have given you so much trouble. Indeed, I even put aside the vow of dedication to my husband, a vow kept by the most elevated women. Oh, alas, although he is now neglecting me, I am so sinful that I am still living. Therefore, I must condemn my so-called patience. footnote 16. This verse is Vidagdhamanava 2.1. Right, so then we're seeing here, is, you know, something is creating the separation between the two. Srimati Radharani said to Krishna, I was engaged in my own playful activities in my home. Because of my childish innocence, I did not know right from wrong. Therefore, is it good for you to have forced us into being so much attracted to you, and then you have neglected us? Now you are indifferent to us. Do you think this is right? Right. So he's saying, she's just in her own home, childish innocence, then she becomes attracted to Krishna. And then being so attracted that Krishna's neglecting, you know, and so like that. So now he's asking, so is this a difference? Do you think this is right, considering the situation? You attracted us, and now you're neglecting us, you know, like this. Lalita Shaki said to Srimati Radharani, our hearts are so polluted by miserable conditions that we are certainly going to Pluto's kingdom. Nevertheless, Krishna does not give up his beautiful, loving smile, which is full of cheating tricks. O Srimati Radharani, you are very intelligent. How could you have developed such great loving affection for this deceitful debauchee from the neighborhood of the cowherds? Footnote 18. This verse is Vidagdhamanava 2.37. Purnamasi to Lord Krishna. O Lord Krishna, you are just like an ocean. The river of Srimati Radharani has reached you from a long distance, leaving far behind the tree of her husband, breaking through the bridge of social convention, and forcibly crossing the hills of elderly relatives. Coming here because of fresh feelings of love for you, that river has now received your shelter, but now you are trying to turn her back by the waves of unfavorable words. How is it that you are spreading this attitude? You know, it's a similar thing like when all the gopis came and met Krishna on the night for the Maharas, and then he spoke all kinds of religious elements and that. Now that you've come out and seen all the beauty of the forest, now you can, you know, happily return home to your families and all that. So that kind of is what is meant by neglect and things like that. Srila Ramananda Rai further inquired. That's going to be. Yeah, no, it goes into the next point. So then, yeah. So we see here is just how wonderfully that Rupa Goswami is able to bring out the rasa, the mellows that are there, that Lord Chaitanya comes to hear. He brings all his closest associates. They're impressed by what's happening. Ramananda Rai, who's expert in all these things, rasa, is acting, asking how this is all unfolding. And Rupa Goswami is able to explain and express it like that, you know, just right there. It's not like, oh, let me just see, look through, it's here to me. No, it's just like they both so expert in this, and the poetry is such excellent quality that everything comes out so wonderful. So we'll continue. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.